on radio, online and on mobile. This is Sports World on the BBC World Service.
The Winter Paralympics start on Friday with the opening ceremony in Sochi. Here's part one of our Sports World preview.
The first Winter Paralympics were held in Sweden in 1976, 16 years after the first Summer Games. 200 athletes competed in alpine and cross-country skiing.
My big ambition is to win a gold medal in Paralympics. This is what I want.
The first Winter Paralympics to use the same host city as the Winter Olympics were in Lillehammer in Norway in 1994. They've been held in the same city ever since.
You have helped make these Paralympic Winter Games truly magical.
Skier Chris Waddell of the United States is one of the most decorated Winter Paralympians. He's won 12 medals in four games, including five golds.
Skiing's where I forget that I'm sitting down. It really is, because skiing is so much about the feeling of making a turn.
In Sochi, there are six disciplines: skiing, alpine and cross-country, snowboarding, wheelchair curling, biathlon, and sledge hockey.
The United States of America came in as the number one ranked team and will win the gold medal.
So the Winter Paralympics begin on Friday with the opening ceremony as the world's best winter athletes descend again on Sochi. Now in Canada, they're still talking about their double gold success. Both the men and the women won ice hockey gold last month. But can the sledge hockey players make it a Canadian treble at the Bolshoi Ice Dome? Well, they won gold at the recent World Championships. And for one member of their team, Sochi is the pinnacle of their career after a tough few years. Meet Kevin Rempel.
When I was 19 or 20 years old, and I had just the everyday normal life as a young kid, and I was out hunting with my dad one day, and we were building a new tree stand, and when he was up in the tree, one of the branches broke, so he fell almost two stories. That accident left him as a complete paraplegic. My passion was riding dirt bikes, and 4 years after my dad's accident, when I was at a show, I ended up having a crash, and that accident left me also in a wheelchair as an incomplete paraplegic.
So your father's accident and then you having the accident, I mean, that is really quite bizarre that would happen. How was your dad once he was in the chair, and what did you learn from that?
Well, seeing what he went through in some ways did help me. It took a really big toll on him, and it just kept dragging him down, and it ended up defeating him.
What happened? He took his own life in the end, didn't he?
Yeah. In that period of time, my mom had actually left my dad because of his depression, but also a gambling addiction. 7 weeks after she left, and right around my 1 year anniversary of my accident, he took his life.
What did he feel about you going into motocross?
He didn't like it. Even from the first time I got a bike, he was hesitant about it, and I think he finally just caved in because I kept bugging him. And after he got hurt, he always told me to stop riding because he said, "You don't want to end up like me." But I knew the risk that I was taking on, and I went there with a bit of an attitude that day, and the crowd being around, all the pressure, like, I did feel pressure. I'd be lying if I said I didn't, because the crowd was watching, and I didn't want to look like a wuss and not jump, even though I wasn't really comfortable too that day. And so as soon as I hit the ramp, I just didn't take it properly, and it kicked me the wrong way. And so midair, I decided to jump off the bike, hopefully not breaking my neck, but to break my legs instead. As soon as I crashed, after I finally got the wind back in my lungs, I tried to move my legs. I couldn't, and I put my hand on my leg. And then as soon as I couldn't feel it, I just knew right then. I said to myself, oh, crap, I'm paralyzed. The next thought that right away came in was that dad told you so. It's just so funny to think about that that's the next thing.
What was your state of mind when you first realized that you were in the same position almost?
Well, I think I felt like every day is you have a choice, and you got to wake up with the mindset that you're going to get better and you're going to get through this. Neurologically in my legs, that affects me every hour, almost down to every minute throughout the day, but you just got to focus on what you do have and not what you don't, and get through it.
So you learnt to walk again, right from scratch. Was there a moment when a doctor said to you, you're unlikely to? Was there a percentage? Was there that classic moment that we hear about, you'll never walk again, and then you do?
Yeah, no, that happened. The words that I remember, like to a quote, were that you'll likely never walk again. And if you do, you'll have braces on your legs up to the hips the rest of your life. When you told me that, I didn't get mad. I didn't tell an F off or anything like that. I just said, okay. And inside my own mind, I just said, that's your opinion. And I'm going to keep doing as much as I can to get better. When I can't get better, then that's where I'll be.
How did you get better?
Months and months and months and months of painful therapy. I would just sit there in bed and my therapist would tell me to just stare at your toe and just try and move it because you're sending the brain impulse down. And finally it wiggled one day and I'm like, well, if I can get that toe, then I can get another toe. And I got that toe like a week later. And then all of a sudden, like another week later, I got like an ankle to flinch. And to me, it was just like game on. Like I was 23 years old at that time, like a two-year-old learning how to walk.
How did sledge hockey come into your life?
Well, when I was at a basketball event, someone mentioned about the sport of sledge hockey, and I had no idea that it even existed. I ended up finding the local club in town, and the first time I was on the ice, like immediately I just knew that this is something I was going to want to do. I didn't even know that there was a Paralympic team at first either. I just started playing thinking this was it. I set my sights on that. It took me 2 seasons, and then the beginning of my third year, I got to try out for the team and joined after Vancouver.
I had lunch with a friend today who, when I told him about your story, he's a big hockey fan. He said, you've got to watch the sledge hockey. He says, it's absolutely brilliant. What kind of game is it?
I love hearing stuff like that. You know, I believe that our sport is the most exciting sport to watch in the Paralympics, regardless of whether it's Canadian hockey or whatever. It's exciting to watch because we're played just like able-bodied hockey. It's fast-paced. We body check. There's hard hits, too. It's not just like some small pushing. It's like we go out there to try and crush guys. And so when people watch it, they just can't believe that, you know, guys with no legs or one leg are trying to kill each other as hard as we can. And I love that about our sport. I'm proud to play sledge hockey.
And do you think you're in Sochi for you and your dad? Will he very much be there in spirit? And how do you think he'd feel seeing you compete in an Olympics?
When I think about my dad, I don't think about my dad a lot, to be honest with you. I don't really know how to explain that and how people would take hearing that. But when I do think about my dad, I know that he'd be proud because he was just an incredibly diehard hockey fan. On his tombstone, he's got the Toronto Maple Leafs logo there just because of how much he just bled the Maple Leafs. You know, if there's God and heaven and all that stuff, he'd be watching for sure. And I'm happy to be doing what I'm doing, and I'd be doing it for him too.
Listen again to our best bits on Audio Boom at BBC Sports World.